ominous music there. Midnight Mourning, that's called Mourning, as in being sad, from the West Australian saxophonist Jamie Ollers. And that's a way of setting the scene for Angela Savage, who's a crime writer. As you know, she's our regular reviewer for thrilling reads in the world of crime. So the best reads for 2014, that's why you're here.
It is, Michael. Best Australian crime reads for 2014. And it's a pretty eclectic mix, which I think is probably sort of symptomatic of the broad church that is crime fiction in Australia.
The broad church of crime.
Indeed.
That's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? All right, so I've got your list here, so I'll feed them to you and then you respond. So you've got at the top of your list is Sweet One. That's from the West Australian crime writer Peter Docker.
Indeed, and this is the one that probably has blown me away the most this year. This is set in Western Australia and it's looking at relations between black and white Australia, almost treating them like a frontier war that's never ended. And I really think this is a fantastic book that has, in the guise of a really thrilling read, has a lot to offer conversations about black and white Australia and how we are together, how we can be together. And but somehow Western Australian writers, unless they're Tim Winton, seem to just be invisible to the East Coast. So I really wanted to put this one on my top reads, not only because it's such an excellent book, but to draw more readers' attention to it.
I think Western Australia, on the whole, has a kind of grievance with the rest of Australia because it's a third of the continent, and yet we hear so little about what goes on in
Western
Australia.
And there are such excellent writers coming from Western Australia in all genres, yeah. Michael, some of my favourites, in fact.
And it's true of painters, it's true across the arts. I mean, it's happening in Western Australia. Wake up, Australia, a lot is happening in the West. Number two is a debut novel from Anna George.
Yes, now, this is not a perfect novel, but I've chosen books on this list because I read a hell of a lot. I read a lot for you. I read a lot in all aspects of life. And I've decided the books that stay with me amongst the amount that I read have something special to offer. And this book of Anna George's, which deals with the very timely and difficult subject of domestic violence, has really stayed with me. It's very creatively written.
Who's she?
She is a Melbourne ex-lawyer. And it's unusual in a book about domestic violence because it deals with a very middle-class couple. It deals with, as she says, a woman who is childless and who's financially independent and yet chooses to stay in an abusive relationship. And, in fact, the book opens with that woman hovering over her dead body and speaking the story. The point of view alternates between her and the husband, Dave, who's just killed her. And it really is, structurally, it's a really creative book. The sense of setting in Melbourne's Western, industrial West and Bayside East is really well evoked. And it, as I say, it's very provocative and it really has lingered for me.
Now, you said it wasn't a perfect novel. That's a strange thing to say in your top list, though. What were you thinking about there?
Oh, just that I found that the character could have had a bit more depth, I think, the character of Elle, the main character, and I wasn't sure the twist at the end worked for me, but a novel doesn't have to be perfect for me to really like it, and as I say, this one's really stayed with me, and it's provocative, and it's a conversational.
Sometimes too, when you see an artist wrestling with the form, wrestling with a problem, and perhaps not quite nailing every bit of it, you can still enjoy the intelligence
absolutely
with which they're trying to work.
Absolutely. And the innovation, I think, in it is a really part of its appeal.
Yeah. So women investigators feature in your pick. So, I mean, you're always bringing up women investigators. So we've got one from a former copper.
We have. Although I think this is really profoundly a book about trauma and its consequences that's wrapped in the guise of a police procedural. We're talking Beams Falling by PM, a.k.a. Pam Newton. And again, this is one that's really stayed with me. It's set in the early 90s in Sydney. It touches on race relations, particularly in Cabramatta with the Vietnamese. It looks at police corruption. But profoundly, as I say, it's really a book about trauma. And it's very unusual to see that side of the policing story in a crime read. And again, this one's on my list for innovation and for its memorability as well.
Angela Savage is taking us through her top crime reads for 2014. You have an amazing memory. You know, you come in here regularly and do these things, and though you bring notes, you never look at them.
That's my security blanket.
I know. Well, everyone brings in notes, but you just look me in the eye and chat away. Have you got an amazing memory just generally? I mean, when you go to the shops, do you have a list or do you just know?
I write things down. It's actually in the act of writing that I remember things. So if I'm in a lecture, I write notes. I never look at the notes again, but in the act of writing, I remember them. And because I've reviewed these books on my blog, I can remember
the
reviews.
You've got a file in your brain.
That's right.
Okay. Let's see if it... don't look down.
See how it holds.
Okay. Your time starts...
No, these are the ones I haven't reviewed. So anyway, keep going.
Your time starts now. So the next one on the list is Michael Robotham, which is called...
Life or Death.
Oh, very good.
And, you know, he said it's never... he couldn't believe that it had never been used before.
Life or Death. It's obvious. There must be thousands of books called Life or Death.
There's none. There's none. He checked it out. Okay, this is just a ripper read, this one from Michael Robotham. It's it made me cry. It's very rare that I can say that about a crime novel. And when I wrote to Michael to say, gee, thanks for making me cry in public, he said he cried when he was writing it. It's at its heart, it's a love story, again, wrapped in this incredibly thrilling crime story that starts with the intriguing premise of why someone would break out of prison after 10 years the day before he was due to be released. That someone is Audie Palmer. This is his story, and it really is a fabulous read.
It's also a fantastic premise for a story.
It's a great story. Michael derived it from a real story of someone who broke out of prison before. Obviously, he's changed the story enormously to make it into what it is. Stephen King gave it a rave review. Yeah. It's a crime novel with a really big heart.
Kate Evans spoke to him for us a few months ago now. Yes, he told us all about how he'd based it on a newspaper article. Adrian McKinty, the Irish writer.
I love this guy's work. I'm an unashamed Adrian McKinty fan. And this one, In the Morning I'll Be Gone, actually pipped my own book to the post for the Ned Kelly Award this year. So it's a measure of how much I love his book that I'm here touting it.
That you're not twisted and bitter.
Not at all. Not at all. I think Adrian's books are brilliant because they're absolutely cracker crime reads. They're incredibly interesting insights into the politics of the time, that kind of crazy politics of the Troubles in Northern Ireland in the 80s. But there's this gallows humour in them that just lifts it to this other level that makes it an incredibly thrilling and pleasurable read.
Is this the story about the guy who's the only Protestant?
He's the only Catholic in the Royal Ulster Constabulary.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sean Duffy. That's right. So he's got this fantastic kind of outsider, and he's a really odd fit. And yet, you know, obviously he's driven by this very repressed sense of justice. It's fantastic.
And is it right that Adrian McKinty had set out to write this as a trilogy, but he's just kept going?
Well, he's only ever written... well, yes, trilogies are the most he's ever done. He's done standalones and trilogies, and he thought he'd finished. He's been quoted as saying, you know, he loved the ending of the third one and thought he could never go back. And then, lo and behold, dreamed the ending of a fourth novel and has since gone back to write what's coming out next year and is on the top of my books to look forward to list, which is Gun Street Girl, the fourth in the now misnamed Troubles trilogy.
Oh, you got a list of things to look forward to?
Indeed, I have.
Okay, well, we've had your best reads for last year. What else are we looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Adrian's new book. I'm looking forward to Robert Gott's new the sequel to The Holiday Murders, The Port Fairy Murders, which is due out early next year. Anne Buist, who's a psychiatrist who specialises in postnatal disorders, has a thriller out called Medea's Curse, which deals with a very grim subject of mothers who kill their children, but with this kind of incredible tart noir heroine bursting onto the scene. That's going to be a ripper read. And then there's two others who are not Australian that I'm looking forward to reading. One was published this year by a Swiss author called Joel Dicker, and the book is called The Harry Quebert Affair. There you go. I do have to check my notes. The Truth About the Harry Quebert Affair.
Only the ones. Just the ones.
And the other is a book called Touch by Claire North. And the main reason I'm looking forward to this one is that a reviewer who I really trust describes it as, quote-unquote, beyond genius and one of the books of 2015 to watch.
I wouldn't buy that. You can't go beyond genius. There's not a zone beyond genius. So this I've got the blurb for this. This is about a woman whose spirit can jump bodies.
Not a woman. It's actually gender neutral. It's a character called Kepler. This is one of the things that this reviewer draws attention to, this incredible skill with which this storyteller, whose name is Claire North, not really. She's actually Catherine Webb, who's a YA fiction writer who's writing under Claire North. But Claire North has apparently created this character, Kepler, who is gender neutral, who jumps bodies through touch, and is, in fact, a part of a community of ghosts that can do this.
I wouldn't like
history.
To be in Claire North's house. It's like Russian dolls there, people who are somebody else writing about somebody
Indeed.
Else.
Indeed.
I love the way you've talked about Australian crime fiction, though, primarily.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you're sort of committed to it, really, aren't you?
I'm fundamentally committed to it. There's so much good stuff happening in Australian crime writing at the moment. And I think it's beholden to me, Michael, as an Australian crime writer.
Yes. I'm sure when The Guardian does its best picks in the UK, I mean, they look at the best British writing. I'm
Absolutely.
Sure the New York Times looks at the best American stuff.
Indeed.
So here at
RN, we are.
Let's talk about the Aussie stuff.
Indeed.
Well, that's good.
So much to look forward to.
Anything you can recommend for me to read over the summer?
Well, I'm going to also tackle Simone Lazarou's new novel from Western Australia. We were talking about that earlier. I would go. Have you read The Truth of the Harry Quebert Affair?
No.
This is like a literary crime novel.
Okay.
I think this one would really appeal to you.
Okay.
It's an intriguing premise, and it's supposed to be incredibly clever and creepy.
We've got to stop. Thank you, and have a great Christmas.
You too.
A crime-free Christmas.
Happy reading.
Thank you very much. Angela Savage, and she'll be back next year. Oh, we haven't asked her. Are you coming back next year?
I would love to come back next year, Michael.
You're on. It's done.